In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. Our scripture passage this morning picks up where we left off in the book of Ruth. We'll be looking at Ruth chapter 3 with verse 6. Hear now the word of God. So she went down to the threshing floor and did exactly all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your word. We praise you that you don't speak to us in sound bites or fortune cookies, but you speak to us in sustained discourse, that we may learn to think your thoughts along with you as we listen and to the words of Scripture. Lord, I pray that you would open your word to us this morning, that it would minister to each one of us in exactly the place in life where we are. And that you would not only make us attentive hearers, but faithful doers, that by your grace, you would write this, your word, in our hearts, that we might not just be seed receivers, but that we can be fruit bearers for you and for your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our text this morning continues our study of the book of Ruth. Now, remember, Ruth has set forth her plan to secure her family's well-being. At its heart, the single objective of this plan is to formally request that Boaz would marry Ruth, the widow of his kinsman. That's the heart of it. That's the whole point, that Boaz would marry Ruth. As such, Naomi has instructed Ruth to lay aside the customs and clothing of mourning and to dress as one who is marriage eligible. Then she is to go to the threshing floor where they know Boaz will be. However, she is not to approach Boaz at once or even let him know that she's there. Instead, Ruth is to wait until the work is finished, the dinner is done, and Boaz has gone off to lie down. Finally, Naomi says that once Boaz is asleep, Ruth is to go in, uncover his feet, and lie down there at his feet. And that seems weird. Why? Why that? Well, to do so is a formal and culturally recognized request to be taken under another's charge or another one's care. Specifically, in this case, it is a formal request for marriage. In our text this morning, Ruth sets out to enact Naomi's plan. Listen. So she went down to the threshing floor. Notice at once, verse 6 tells us that Ruth went down and goes down to the threshing floor where they know Boaz is going to be. Now, this is important. Why? Because if verses 1 through 5 laid out Naomi's plan, then verses 6 through 11 allow us to watch that plan unfold. We've heard it. Now we're about to watch it unfold, be put into action. However, please note, before we see a single detail of Naomi's plan enacted, verse 6 provides us with a summary or an overview of what takes place. Listen again. So she went down to the threshing floor and did exactly all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. Notice it simply tells us that she does this, but it doesn't show us her doing this at all. Now, we're about to see that, beginning with the very next verse. But before we see any of this unfold, we get this summary or overview. Now, why is that? Well, there are a few key points that the author wants you to have front and center in your mind as you watch Ruth implement Naomi's plan. There are a few things as we begin to watch this unfold that the author wants to make sure that you have front and center in your mind as you watch that plan unfold. Notice then, case in point, the specific reason that verse 6 tells us that Ruth goes down to the threshing floor. Verse 6 tells us, so Ruth went down. In other words, this little resultive conjunction, so, that we could translate so in this manner or for this reason. This little conjunction tells us two important things. So let me call a timeout real quick, because we're not being pedantic and we're not just being, myopic here, okay? I would say that 75% of the reason that your own Bible study, your own Bible reading is a lot of times off focus or out of focus is because we fail to note the connections, the connectors that the authors of Scripture are providing us. And so we saw that in Paul. Pay attention to Paul's use of preposition, the way he's relating one thing to another thing. In John, we saw it with the way that John is going to bounce verb tenses and play them off of one another. And here in Ruth is no exception. That over and again, we need to pay attention to the way that the author is relating what we are reading at that point to what he's already told us. The way that these things flow together. The way that these things go. And so notice right away, this little simple connecting word tells us two very important things. First of all, it tells us that Ruth goes to the threshing floor because Naomi instructed her to do so. We've just seen Naomi's plan laid out. Naomi, acting as the matriarch and head of the family, has given Ruth commands, instructions. She set forth the plan and the approach that the family is going to take. And therefore, because Naomi has instructed her to go, Ruth goes. At the same time, it tells us that Ruth goes because she just promised to do what Naomi told her to do. In the very verse right before this, in verse 5, we hear this whole plan concluding with Ruth saying, "I will do what you say and tell me to do." And so Ruth is going because she's promised to go. Thus, Ruth goes because Naomi said to go and because she has promised to go. Now, this is important because at once the author reminds us that as Ruth enacts Naomi's plan, as we watch this plan unfold, we are seeing Ruth's heart, her character, and her obedience on display. In other words, we are watching Ruth's faithfulness and deference in action. That Ruth is faithful to keep her words despite the real risks that are involved here. We'll see that in a second. We're also watching Ruth's deference, her obedience to the authority and the structure that God has put around her. And so we're watching Ruth's character and her heart on full display here. Now that's so important because right away we're being tipped off on what we're looking for as we read. We're not just reading an itinerary or a checklist. It's not Naomi told her to do this and now Ruth is down at the threshing floor with a check pad. Done this, done this, done this. Woo, what a great day I'm having. Okay, that's not what's going on. Instead, we're watching a real person in the midst of a real situation, okay, working through that. We're watching how she's working through that. And that's so important because, remember, the book of Ruth is a book that's meant to delight us. It's a book that we're meant to savor. The telling of the story is meant to draw us in and to engage us. Why? Because we are still the people of God right now today. In the midst of real life, facing real situations. And the same God who is faithful to Naomi and Ruth is the same God who is intimately and intricately involved in the very details of your life. And so as we see this account, we are reminded right away that it has everything to do with you and me. Remember that Naomi and Ruth are not the exceptions. We're not sitting back going, wouldn't it be great? That's happening because they're in the Bible. No. They're not the exceptions. They're a point of enactment. In other words, that what God is doing in this book is not just delivering them, but instead he's establishing through these very things going on, these very events, he's establishing a king for his people Israel. And then through that king, through David and the house of David, he's establishing the Messiah who you and I come this morning to worship as Lord and Savior. That this book has everything to do with us. It is real people in the midst of real life and watching the way that God intervenes into those very situations. So we see ourselves and our situations at work here. So she went down to the threshing floor. Next, notice when Ruth goes to the threshing floor. Remember, winnowing was done in the late afternoon and evening. It was done as the sun is going down. And so winnowing has a timestamp. So when we're talking about harvesting, there were a lot of different parts of the harvesting. There's the reaping or cutting of the grain. There's the bundling of the grain. There's the threshing of the grain, where they would crush the grain, separating the grain from the husk and the flax. And then there was this process that we're dealing with now, which is winnowing. And so they would take a pitchfork-like thing, they would throw the grain into the air, Okay, the lighter husk and flax would be carried off by the wind, while the heavier grain would fall back to the floor. So they're separating that. And that's important because we know exactly when or what time of day that happened. Because in biblical times, right up now till today, in Bethlehem, in the spring when this is taking place, okay, there was a late afternoon, evening breeze that always blew. And so they used that breeze, they kind of harnessed it, so that when they threw the grain up in the air, that breeze that came every day at that time would blow that flax and husk off, and then the grain would be separated and fall to the ground. And so there's a time stamp here. We know that this is happening, when this is happening. So notice then, by the time stamp of winnowing, we know that verse 6 takes place around dusk. Now, for you and I, we might be seeming, we're reading a lot into this, where this is really, but for the original readers, okay, they knew exactly what time this was taking place. They knew exactly those details because they were living in the midst of it. For you and I, we have to stop and reflect on it a bit. So notice verse 6 takes place around dusk. Now, why is that important? Well, remember, a great deal of Naomi's plan involves right timing and therefore stealth. Ruth is not even to let Boaz know she's there until after dinner when he's asleep. Therefore, the fading light, along with her change from mourning clothes, and I don't mean mourning, I mean grieving clothes, right? Because she's a widow. I don't mean like she was wearing slippers and had her hair up in curlers. It's not that kind of mourning. It's grieving clothes, which Boaz has been accustomed to seeing her in. That's all he's seen her in. So notice, the fading light, along with Ruth's change from mourning clothes, provides the cover that she needs for this plan. In other words, Naomi's wisdom has not only selected the right place for her plan to unfold, a public winnowing, thereby protecting Ruth's propriety, but also the right time for that plan's delicate success. And so we talked a little bit about this before, but it's echoing in this passage. Remember, Ruth can't just get all dolled up in marrying clothes, walk down the middle of the street, and show up on Boaz's front doorstep unannounced and uninvited. That would have brought about a scandal. So Naomi, in her wisdom, is choosing the perfect time for Naomi and for Boaz and Ruth to be in the same place. It's a public event. It's a community-wide gathering. So it's perfectly appropriate. There's nothing unusual about Ruth being in the same place at the same time as Boaz. But Ruth just can't go up at the, you know, winnowing barbecue that they're having that evening and go, "Hey, great harvest, Bo. Hey, you want to get hitched up?" Because that's going to be a scandal too. And if Boaz is caught off guard and if he rejects her, it will be a public humiliation and disgrace. So Naomi has chosen the exact occasion and the right time. Though she doesn't send her during threshing, which could have taken place at any time during the day. She sends her when the light begins to fade, just thus providing the discretion that this plan requires. And so, in other words, just as the author has prepared us to see Ruth's heart, so too he prepares us to see Naomi's heart and her genuine care, her genuine concern for Ruth. These are real people involved in real times. This isn't flat, two-dimensional stock characters. These are real folks going through real stuff. Notice the result. Remember, the wisdom of Naomi's plan reflects and mirrors the deliverance that God is providing. Thus, as verse 6 prepares us to see Ruth enact Naomi's plan, it is in fact preparing us to see the deliverance that God is bringing about through these events. In other words, the author not only prepares us to see Naomi and Ruth's heart, he also prepares us to see Yahweh's heart as well. Okay? Real people in real situations as God is at work in the very details of their life. Okay, and that's so important because a God who's only there for you somewhere in heaven and far away and far off, a grace that only kicks in the far off or distant future. Okay, two things about that. First of all, that is not the God or the grace that Scripture proclaims. It is far to us. And second of all, a God that is not present in the midst of his creation, and a grace that is not at work in the details of your life is not a grace or God that you should have any confidence that's going to be able to carry you across the threshold of death. Okay? The God of Scripture, over and again, and the book of Ruth is no exception, is a God that we're reminded of, that he is involved in the details of our life. He is an ever-present help in trouble. That right now he is with you in the midst of all that you are facing. And already his grace is at work in your life, bringing about the hope, the change, the cleansing, and the renewal that you and I both so desperately need. Listen. And she did exactly all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. And next notice, verse 6 tells us that once Ruth arrived at the threshing floor, she does exactly what Naomi told her to do. However, notice the author's emphatic twofold stress here. Notice the author doesn't just say she does exactly what Naomi told her to do. He doesn't just say she did all that Naomi told her to do. He could have done either one of those things and you would have never missed a beat. Instead, he doubles down on it. He draws this emphatic twofold stress, doubling down on these words. He is intentionally drawing your attention because there's something here that he wants you to see, and so we need to pay attention to it. Notice then, he tells us that Ruth did exactly all, doubles down, exactly all that Naomi said to do. In other words, her obedience is both precise and comprehensive. What do I mean by that? That is, Ruth does not alter a single point of Naomi's instructions. It is precise. She follows it precisely. At the same time, it's comprehensive. She does not leave anything out. Instead, Ruth does all that Naomi said exactly as Naomi told her to do it. Notice in the point, the author is deliberately drawing our attention to the depth of Ruth's character. We've seen that in part already, as well as her understanding of the gravity of the situation. Her care in this is underscoring how she understands the importance and the delicateness and the gravity of this situation. Remember, Naomi and Ruth's entire well-being is on the line here. Their sustenance, their security, even their social standing within that society, it's all at stake here. If it goes south, everything here is shocked. So everything is on the line here for these two women. And Ruth understands that. The risk that this plan involves are profound. So Ruth can be rejected by Boaz. She could be disgraced. She could be publicly humiliated and sent off in shame. And if that happens, in all likelihood, she's going to be run out of town. And probably along with her, Naomi as well. And so now here are two widows that have no means of caring and providing for themselves, who now are run out of the one place in the world where they have family and they have people that know them. And now they're wanderers. They're nomads. And they're just showing up hoping that they would be absolute destitute. The risk here is absolutely profound. In fact, it is this risk and the high stakes that are involved that set the psychological undertone of everything that follows. You have to see this. These are real people. We're not just going to see a checklist. We're watching people just like you and me with real situations in a situation in which God is caring for them every step of the way, even though for now they don't see that at all. Okay? But God's hand is with them. And so this is a very real situation that's happening, and there are very real risk involved. So think about it this way. If you watch sports, like a spring training game in baseball, okay, the attitude, the body language, the way they're coaching the game, everything, it's just a practice. It's just a practice game, okay? Everything is very different than if it's an elimination game in the World Series. Everybody's body language, everything is completely different. The whole psychological undertone is being defined because of what is at stake. And that's exactly what's going on. As we're watching this, we need to understand that Ruth is carrying the burden of not only their well-being, but also of the very real risk that she is being asked to bear here. Notice then, despite the risk, Ruth keeps her word and carries out Naomi's plan. She doesn't just give Naomi lip service and then go do what she wants to do. She does exactly what she's promised to do. Not only that, with so much at stake, Ruth is careful to do exactly as she has been instructed, right? She's not careless in this. It means a lot. It's the, you know, when you're defusing a bomb, you've seen it on TV, you're doing exactly, taking great care to cut the right wire, just like the dude on the headpiece is telling you to do, because you don't want to blow up. And that's exactly what's going on here, the psychological undertone of what's happening. Notice the result. Behind the author's emphasis on Ruth's careful diligence, we are to see a picture of a real heart of character bearing a very real weight every step of the way. And this is important because at once verse 6 reminds me that following God often involves real risk and real uncertainties. Sometimes following God really involves us taking real risk, where we are called to do and be the right sort of person without any guaranteed outcome. Okay, sometimes the only thing we have to go on is doing the sort of things that God has called us to do and being the sort of person that God has called us to be. Okay, so the old, you know, you've heard me say it again and again. When you're not sure what to do next, make sure that the next thing you do is the right sort of thing. Staying in God's word, staying in God's house, staying engaged with the things that you know your Heavenly Father is engaged in and has called you to be a part of. Stay at the foot of the throne of grace, because there's that certainty and that guarantee that just like with, that the whole reason Naomi and Ruth are in this position of hope is because during hard times, even when they didn't see God's hand at working, they were persistent in their faithfulness, and God used that persistent faithfulness to have them in the exact place where He wanted to be, even long before they began to realize it. Okay? And so we oftentimes are called into situations, you may be in one right now, where we are to follow God with real risk, uncertainties, without any guarantee of outcome, except for this guarantee. That we know that following God is always best. That as we're following God, we're already in the place that God wants us to be. And as we follow Him, even though we don't know exactly, what we do know is that walking in the footsteps, steps, and prints that He has set for us is already walking through and walking out. Second thing is that we know that God always honors and directs faithfulness. Our faithfulness is never in vain. It always counts. And so in those times when we don't know what to do next, make sure that the next thing you do is the right sort of thing. Listen. And she did exactly all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. Finally, in a book that's all about names, notice whose instructions the author specifically says that Ruth followed. Notice what the author doesn't say. It doesn't say, as she went down to the threshing floor and did everything that Naomi suggested that she should do. That's not what it says. Okay. Instead, verse 6 tells us that Ruth did exactly all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. Now, this is important. Why? Because the book of Ruth is a book all about names, so watch the way the author uses these names and family descriptions. But at the same time, in a book that's also all about legal transactions, just as we are about to see Ruth carry out Naomi's plan, the author goes out of his way to remind us once again of the official or authoritative nature of this plan. In other words, he alerts us that this plan, which we are about to see, and which Ruth follows exactly in its entirety, is a plan that her mother-in-law, the acting head and matriarch of the family, has commanded or charged or instructed her to do. Notice then the point. As you watch Ruth, the author wants to make double sure that you understand that what you're witnessing is one of those binding acts. It's one of those legal transactions upon which the entire book turns, and not just the entire book, The history of Israel is going to pivot here. And not just the history of Israel, but the coming of the Messiah that is a Savior of the world. That we are at one of these incredibly big moments where God's hand is at work in a profound way. And he's doing it, not haphazardly, but through these incredible covenants of love. Okay? Binding legal transactions, framed and formed by God's great love for his people. Bottom line, before we see the first detail of Naomi's plan unfold, the author alerts us that we are watching real hearts, Naomi's heart, Ruth's heart, and Yahweh's heart, bearing the weight of very real risk at a key point in God's plan and the book's account. Thus, as the evening light begins to fade, we watch a solitary figure of a young woman close the porch door behind her and begin heading down the road to the threshing floor. As we watch her go, no one would ever suspect the weight that she's carrying on her shoulders. However, by the end of the night, she will either be disgraced and her family destitute, or she will be a potential bride. With each step she takes, we notice her lips are moving as if in silent prayer. Her only hope is that Yahweh is with her. Amen?